Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
And we've got overtime with Big Weege, Jake Volnick, coming up later tonight. But we got 1 hour to go, plenty to get to. We got bandwagons later this segment, but let's welcome on our very own beat reporter for 92.3 The Fan, a man with many hats, the great Daryl Ryder, joins us now. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, boys. Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
So, let's see. I kind of want... Okay. JP and I were just having an argument because I was watching J.J. Watt continue to stump for his brother to get a Defensive Player of the Year award, and I just think that is so low class. JP thinks it's fair because they're brothers. Can you arbitrate this argument for us?
I think that it's fair for JJ to advocate for his brother TJ, especially now that JJ is post career. So, but at the same time, I just kind of don't feel like TJ has a lot to stand on right now. Maybe statistically, yes, but like, he doesn't deal with like what Myles Garrett has to deal with, which is being held on every single play with no flags being thrown. Like, the officials don't even try to force offensive linemen to play Myles Garrett fairly. So I'm kind of Team Jonathan. I'm sorry. Like, I think it's okay for a brother to advocate on behalf of his younger brother.
Daryl, so, you don't have to apologize for being on the right side of history here. It's okay.
And you have to apologize for being wrong with JP. It's okay.
Daryl, speaking of people being wrong, Jason Lockenfora had a report out there earlier today talking about how, past couple days, talking about how Kevin Stefanski, people that he talked to, that is in the know. I want to get this right for you. I'm not gonna butcher this. I want to get this right for you so you can respond accordingly. This is in the Washington Post, okay? He said he's incredibly well-positioned now. He's working as a consultant with the Cleveland Browns, talking about Vrabel, who quite likely would pursue him if Kevin Stefanski's let go. And then he put in parentheses, some coaches and executives who know Stefanski think he'd be cool getting out of that cesspool now, being home for the holidays, and getting to prepare for future interviews elsewhere.
Thoughts?
Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Kevin's got his extension, so he's going to make a ton of money if they do let him go, which, by the way, isn't going to happen because it's no secret that every NFL insider came out before that Steeler game to say Kevin's safe and so is Andrew Berry. Those kind of changes are not going to be on the way because collectively, the organization failed with the Deshaun Watson trade, which is, basically torpedoed this particular season. So everyone's going to share the blame. Nobody's going to be blamed individually for it. you know, and I have said that I don't think that in a true moment of honesty, Kevin Stefanski would say, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson's absolutely the prototypical quarterback for my offensive system, because he's not. And you look at the improvement we have seen the last 2 years without Watson on the field. We saw it last year with Joe Flacco. We're seeing it right now with Jameis Winston, who has already thrown for more yardage than Deshaun has. Deshaun started 7 games, Jameis just 4. Watson averaged around 165 yards a game passing, and Jameis is in the well over 200 range, around 260 or so. The Browns are scoring about 5 more points on average per game with Winston at quarterback. The offense looks competent in comparison. So I think that what we are learning here is the root of the problems for the Cleveland Browns, and it's not Kevin Stefanski. It's the quarterback they gave $230 million to. So that's kind of where I come out on things.
Daryl, any prediction Ohio State, Michigan?
Oh, Buckeyes roll. I mean, really put the boots to them. Like, run it up. Like, Ryan Day, if he's got a chance to put points on the board, up 28 with less than 2 minutes to play, he's going to put the points on the board.
Daryl, I guess we agree all segment long today. Me and you.
Not a great start.
Oh, there's still time left.
Actually, we're actually going to run here because we got something else we got to get to here.
Oh,
but
okay.
I do want to say happy Thanksgiving. Any good Thanksgiving plans? You going to make a turkey? Going to make a stuffing?
No, I'm leaving that to the experts, going to the rents for the holidays. So I leave the cooking to them.
I think you could do it better.
Enjoy
That's just
it
me.
And enjoy your unobstructed TV watching.
I see you didn't believe me.
I didn't.
We did
you
now.
You didn't believe me.
I like that you're not fake media, Daryl. I always knew you weren't.
Daryl, happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you, Daryl.
Daryl Ryder there, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You're going to hear from him again on Monday as we head into the Monday Night Football matchup, Browns and Broncos. But it is time to welcome in sweet young thing, Jax Gregory. It's time for Bandwagons. Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going, guys? All right, we'll start off in the NBA as Ty Jerome has shocked the NBA world so far this season with multiple 20-point games.
Is he shocked the world?
Yeah.
I think he shocked the world.
He shocked the NBA world.
The NBA world is shocked.
Yes.
They'll never recover.
I don't know what Singapore is thinking right now, but the NBA world is shocked.
Well, he's been a big piece in the Cavs' 17-1 start. Are we on the bandwagon of Ty being the sixth man of the year?
You start.
I got to get on the bandwagon. There was some competition when it came to that. I think he's blown everyone out of the water in the previous 4 games. He scored 20-plus in, what, 3 out of the last 4? Something like that. He's been unreal. I saw a stat yesterday. He is the most efficient player in the entire NBA as of right now. I mean, a lot of this is going to come back down to earth. He can't keep playing this well. We all know it. But, yeah, if the voting happened right now, there's not a better person first sixth man of the year. I'm on the bandwagon.
Am I a bad person if I say talk to me in 15 games?
Not at all. Not with this one at all.
All right, talk to me in 15 games. I love what Ty's doing, but as of right now, it is the anomaly in his career. I think it's real, but give me 15 more games. 15 games from now, I do hate being the last person on a bandwagon. That feels crummy. In this case, I still think 15 games from now, I'll still have enough cred to be like, I was there early on Ty Jerome.
I mean,
get there before the All-Star break, I think I got the
credit.
Get
in on the Typhoon.
People love the Typhoon. Who is he going up against right now? Peyton Pritchard is a name that obviously would be in the mix. Our guy Peyton Pritchard.
Oh, he's still around?
He's still around. He'd be in the mix. Buddy Hield had a run earlier on in the season.
Deadly with a three-pointer.
That's kind of cooled off a little bit here. Like, I think Ty Jerome, the Typhoon, I'm here for it.
All right, what else we got?
All right, sticking in the NBA, the Bucks got off to a rough start this season, but are now 9-9 after a cup win last night against the Heat. Are we on the bandwagon of the Bucks being contenders again?
I kind of felt like I never left the bandwagon. I've never seen like NBA dudes who are like really, really smart, who understand, and I'm not trying to be the guy, oh, it's 82-game season. But like when the Bucks, like Giannis didn't lose his powers. Dame Lillard didn't stop being really good. Doc Rivers is not great.
And they didn't have Middleton for a lot of that stretch,
but
too.
But, like, it was just wild. Like, the Sixers thing I get. I mean, we got team meetings. Embiid isn't playing. Paul George is kind of a weirdo. Like, there's a lot of things to look at Philly and be like, all right, that's I don't know that that's going to work out. With Milwaukee, it was like health and time. I never left. I don't think I ever left. Milwaukee's going to be really good in a team that you're going to have to go through if you want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals this year.
I'm also on the bandwagon.
Now, as in you're getting on now or you never left?
Well, I never really left, but I'm not going to get off the bandwagon because that would be weird if I'm like I'm still associating with the Bucks.
Unless you wanted like, what is it, In-N-Out privileges at like Disney? I'm going to get off this bandwagon so I can get a better position when I hop back on.
Do they give you that? Can you leave the park and then come back in?
I do, now, but back
when in the day, you used to, like, you left the park, you were out.
Well, no, but you really, there was like a whole thing you had to do. I do remember that. It was in high school. That's when I went in high school for marching band.
To Disney?
It was very popular.
You marched in the Disney March, or what is
I
that?
I sure did.
Hell yeah, you
and
did.
And let me tell you, the ladies just fell at my feet.
That was a big moment for you.
Just a look in a general direction and somebody got pregnant.
How old were you?
I was 17.
17?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you booze at Disney at 17?
No.
Don't underage drink, kids.
No, I would never do that.
Yeah, you did. 3-0 in NBA Cup play, by the way. We care about the Cup, the Cup date. Bucks are now 3-0. And so as far as Bucks fans are concerned, they're right on schedule.
It's a strong Cup date.
All right, we'll go to the NFL now as Nick Chubb scored 2 touchdowns in the Thursday night win against the Steelers last week. But his contract is up at the end of the season. Are we on the bandwagon that he will be a Brown next season?
JP.
I'm on the bandwagon here, but here's what I have to say about it.
Because you're afraid of the backlash?
Not at all. You know me well enough to know I don't care about the backlash. No one's scared of the backlash here. It's the idea that I think he's going to sign on for a Kareem Hunt-esque role. I think he's going to be a different Nick Chubb. He's not going to be the Nick Chubb that you know and love. He's not going to have 15, 20-yard carries. He's going to be Kareem Hunt. Goal line situations, Nick Chubb will be the guy that puts it in the end zone, and he's going to do so at a massively reduced price. And I feel like that'll be the new version of Nick Chubb.
What a great qualifier you put on that.
What qualifier? I never left. Truth bombs is what that
I
was.
I never left the bandwagon. Nick Chubb will be here. Even if he is, if they had somebody that was the obvious heir apparent who would just be better at it, I think it might, but it's not Jerome Ford. Foreman isn't coming back. Pierre Strong's a nice situational back. Maybe this is the year that you bring back Nick Chubb for one more run and then draft a running back and see if that guy can take hold. But, I mean, he's not going to cost you the moon. It's going to make sense. Unless he just goes off on a tear the final 6 games of this season, which I don't see happening.
Well, and the bet you'd be making there is that for some reason, off the injury that he had, the year following it is not anyone's ever best year. So you'd be banking on that. Maybe he's got more juice in the following year, and then we can go from there.
All right, one final one there, Jacksonmillion.
All right, we'll go to the college football world. The Buckeyes and Wolverines face off in the game. This weekend,
I'm on the bandwagon on that one.
Ohio State has lost 3 straight.
That is happening.
It will happen.
On Saturday, specifically.
They lost 3 straight against the team up north, but plan to change that this Saturday. Are we on the bandwagon that Ohio State finally gets back in the win column?
Yeah, I think that's an easy bandwagon to get on.
Yeah, no disputes from me there. I think Odyssey Rewind, go listen to the 520 segment. I'll be shocked if anything but that happens.
Your Ohio State hubris is wild.
It's not wild. It's just fact. I mean, listen, you know me. I don't sit there. I learned a long time ago, don't guarantee wins and don't do all that nonsense. It'll bite you in the butt. I am fully confident. When Vegas tells you you're a 21-point favorite, you're a 3-touchdown favorite, and then this Michigan offense can't move the ball at all, you got all the right in the world to be confident. Mm-hmm. And then, by the way, this might be the last year you get to have this confidence because I think Michigan's reloading, and next year they're going to start being lethal again.
I just don't put a lot of stock into even that. Like that's like I'm sure this Underwood kid is for real. You don't spend $12 million on Bubkiss, but like Michigan's reloading. Okay, maybe. Like we'll see.
Larry Ellison.
Because here's the thing: if
second richest man on the planet wants Michigan to win football games, they're going to win football games.
Yeah, I mean, who was the jackweed at Miami? Ruiz. And
no, you're focusing on the wrong guys. Well, you're focusing on the guys.
A different millionaire.
No, you're focusing on millionaires, not billionaires. Like.
By the way, Larry Ellison happening? Didn't even go to Michigan. He's just doing this to make his wife happy.
And you say that like that's not a thing that guys do.
I just think spending
a
lot
like
of money
a thing that we don't do in life.
I think spending $30 million on a football roster
He's the second richest man on the planet.
I'm going to tell you right now, when I get Bezos money.
He could wipe his butt with $30 million.
Easy there.
He doesn't care.
When I get Bezos money, you're going to know because Bowling Green will be the best team in the heartland. And because I went there. I passed out there.
That's been my worry.
Bombed with women there. All right? I had no action. That's where I did my no action having was Bowling Green.
I mean, we're talking, this is Phil Knight at Oregon. We're playing with the big boys. This is what this is.
Phil Knight, did he go to Oregon? Did he? I can't remember.
He wants Oregon to win. What happened? You get Dylan Gabriel, you get all these recruits. This is how this works.
Thank you, Jax. Wonderful stuff. When we come back, vibes, leadership, and we can all... Let's just enjoy Anthony Lima saying he was wrong. 92.3 The Fan. Minutes here, Nick and Jonathan back on Afternoon Drive. One more time, happy Thanksgiving out there, everybody. I just like to blanket. I really do like that Christmas spirit... Holiday spirit, excuse me.
You see, even you know Thanksgiving doesn't fight for itself.
No.
Never fights for itself. Christmas is the real holiday.
Stop that. Stop being dismissive. There are times to spend with family where you get to just sit around and be with family. And by the way, a fair amount of us get paid to sit around. It's paid vacation.
It's very nice. I told you, though, Black Friday is really, that's my big holiday
that
I remember.
That's not a holiday.
What do you mean? Why is that not a holiday?
That's gluttony.
No. Thursday is the definition of gluttony. How is Friday gluttony?
Because Friday is all about commercialism. It's about buying things.
Everyone has their childhood memories. Mine is sitting in line at 5 in the morning with my mom at Best Buy, trying to save a couple hundred shekels, okay?
Listen,
that's my memory.
For $2.50 an hour, I can help you analyze that. Okay, but I'm just telling you.
For why Black Friday mattered more in my family than Thanksgiving?
For the fact that is your childhood memory. I think that's the one that scares me a little more than anything.
It had a lot to do with the cooking, maybe. I don't know. my mom's not listening. She's a great cook, though.
Good call there.
She's a great cook.
I have already felt like your mom doesn't like me. I don't know why I ever got that.
Why would you think that?
I don't know. I just...
That's ridiculous.
Because your mom... worked in radio.
Yeah.
And so mom knows it's a very competitive business.
Yeah.
And there have been times where you and I are competition for jobs. So I just assumed that mom picked up on that and is like, we got to get this guy out of here.
No.
We got to get this guy, this fat idiot. I imagine that there's like that you taking the,
now
the
who needs therapy. Okay,
yeah.
Now.
Well, no. We've already talked about that in therapy. That
okay,
one's
good.
Cleared up.
Okay, good.
But no, now this is actually all part of a long con. Mom's got like a plan. This is like Walter White level bleep. That she's gonna like we're gonna fight. You're gonna pin the meth on me. That's what I see here. So you can have Afternoon Drive.
I have it. We're doing it right now.
That's fair. I haven't figured out where the turn's coming. You want it all for yourself.
It's like a really dumb idea by me or by her. Whoever comes up with this,
America.
This feels like a Vanessa getting mad at you for the dream scenario all over again.
Oh, I'm not mad at you. I totally understand. This is a cutthroat business. I'd understand if you frayed me. Yeah, I would.
No, I wouldn't do that to you.
I know you wouldn't.
No,
and I wouldn't do it to you.
By the way, props to us. Even though at one point it really felt like Ross Tucker was trying to bait us into it. We have not fallen into the holiday shtick, the radio shtick that always happens. It's like, oh, what time do you eat your Thanksgiving?
So cranberry sauce
or no cranberry sauce? What do we think, guys?
It's a great time to unveil the 92.3 The Fan Thanksgiving food draft.
Yeah. Let's talk sides.
With the number one pick in the Thanksgiving food draft, Jack Gregory
totally
takes.
To talk sides.
Apple pie. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, that is. And that's the end of your career. All right. The number two pick in the Thanksgiving mock draft. Thanksgiving food mock draft. Mac Robinson takes...
sweet potatoes.
God, you are all bad at this. I don't think you guys realize how bad you are at this.
I applauded us for not going hack, and then we went full hack.
You can take stuffing. If you're going to go hack, you go full hack. You don't go a little hack, right? You don't put one big toe on the hack scale. You put that whole ass on there.
That's how I know Ross hasn't been doing the radio hits long enough, is when he's like jonesing for us to have a Thanksgiving conversation. It's like, oh, you haven't done it for 15 years yet.
See, the problem is today's good idea 5 years down the road becomes the radio hack. Like, I remember the first time we did Radio Tinder. I was like, this is cool. Nobody's done Radio Tinder.
Yeah.
And then like 2 years later, it was on TV And it was pretty plausible that that person co-opted that idea from me. And I was like, well, now I don't want to do the damn bit anymore.
There was a time where does Pete Rose belong in the Hall of Fame was fresh.
Now we're talking
about... There was a time that did exist.
Now we're talking evergreen. That's not always hack. It is... It's okay, it's hack adjacent. Does that make... Like, the gimmicks that come up... Like, if we did some bastardization of coming in hot.
Yeah.
Some like it hot. It's heating up.
Not like it's heating up.
We'd kill the bit for them. And that's what people... Because baseball, radio, is especially sports talk, is such a monkey-see-monkey-do game.
Yeah.
That, like, the downside of creating a good bit is somebody's just going to take it, and then you're just going to see it 10 times over, and you're going to hate the bit.
Well, that sounds sad. That sounds sad for the bit. But, yeah, you're right.
Kind of the bit. That is the bit. Not a great bit. Now, with this being said... Thanksgiving's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Great time to look back, to look within, and give thanks, but also... Maybe, you know, be honest with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning on The Morning Boys, Anthony Lima looked inward when it came to Jameis Winston.
I have to say, I've had some bad opinions on this radio show.
Yeah, you had a few.
And people remind me of those bad opinions, and I appreciate that. Anytime. Well, you can remind me of another bad opinion, because Rodney did tell me, he's like, hey, you're being hard on Jameis with the teammate stuff and the press conference stuff. And when I had said that I think guys will eventually roll their eyes at Jameis being mic'd up all the time. And I was totally wrong. Totally wrong, because you could see it. We will talk a lot about Jameis and whether the Browns can bring him back next year, whether he's the guaranteed starter and all that. We're going to get into those conversations. But that is what a leader looks like. That is what the guy that's on the poster looks like. It just is.
I, for one, have never heard a player, even off mic, say something untrue about a teammate. And I just have never heard that.
Are you suggesting that Rodney was lying to Lima? Is that what you're
Rodney
suggesting?
Rodney 3 weeks ago carried water for Jed Wills, and then the team benched Jed Wills. Oh, he's injured. Wink, 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 wink. Yeah, no. Like, hearing everybody come out and be like, I mean, Jed didn't mean it. You're basically caught when your defense of somebody that you play with is, he's too dumb to know what he say. When that's what, like, the defense of it, it's not a defense. So, no, I do think the guys are responding. I don't want to be cynical about that. I think guys are responding. It's just wild that we're having this conversation, and I was wrong about Jameis with 6 weeks to go.
Well, that's the bad part about it, is that I don't believe that Lima's basing it off of anything that he saw on the field. I think he's basing it off of an interaction last night. And in the context that he's doing it, I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing in the world, only because he's not saying that Jameis is going to be the greatest quarterback you've ever seen. He's just saying, based off of what he saw last night, at least the impression I'm getting is based off of last night, that we see looks the part. Take that for whatever it's worth.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. And again, I really am enjoying...
You can look the part and be a bad quarterback too, by the way.
Yeah, and I think that's where it's like... I just think we keep glomming onto these things. And Joe was for real for 5 weeks, and then he wasn't. Now, again, if the Browns had glommed onto that, and Joe came back this year, and Joe got benched, was it two times he got benched in Indy?
Yeah.
Guys, we wouldn't have the same sparkle inside for Joe Flacco. It's just a reality. Because what happens is, the reason why everybody's falling in love with Jameis, same reason we fell in love with Joe, we had no expectations. the sweet spot for fandom now, because cynicism ruins everything before it happens, right? I mean, even this Ohio State-Michigan game. Ohio State should stomp them. If they don't, anything other than Ohio State winning by four touchdowns is now something to be reprimanded for Ryan Day instead of, oh, you beat Michigan, the thing you haven't done. And I use that as a for instance. Now everything is up to expectations. It ruins everything. That pressure of expectations. So when you have a quarterback that nobody has expectations for, you can just love him purely. But the fact that after four games, like, I think we're still in the he's not Deshaun zone. And that worked last year because the he's not Deshaun zone lasted 6 weeks, basically, six football games.
Yeah. Well, and you knew Deshaun was on the other side of it, too.
So I'm not telling anyone don't enjoy it. I'm enjoying it. How can you not? You've won two games against divisional foes. He's thrown for a bunch of yards. Like, the offense looks better. He's not Deshaun. Enjoy it. But we don't have to then take that thing that we're enjoying now and go, I was wrong. We don't have to. We got six more games to figure out the Jameis thing. Figuring him out, declaring him.
But I think what Lyme was speaking to is the idea that it's, again, I don't think he's speaking about his play. I really don't. And Lyme, call in if I'm wrong here. I think he's speaking to the idea that, and why wouldn't Jameis look the part? Jameis has been, he won a Heisman, he won a national title, he was the number one overall pick. Like, if anybody had been groomed to look the part, it was Jameis.
So, but here's the thing. Lyme and I are actually in lockstep, which is talking about Jameis and the good vibe stuff, right?
Yeah.
Those only really work if you're winning.
Well, I agree with that 100%.
And so
that goes away quickly when you're losing and getting just blown out.
And I'm not wishing for that to happen. I don't know if it will happen. I don't know. I will say I'm much more of an open book about where this is going after the Pittsburgh win and factoring the Baltimore win almost a month before that. I'm okay. Let's see.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're wrong on the idea of, like, it, to me, it's not, is Jameis fake? I think some of the stuff Jameis does do sometimes can come off as fake. That's something I've heard from people that shared a locker room with him. The Browns are vibing on him right now. I don't want to harsh that mellow vibe on it. But in NFL locker rooms, Deshaun could have had the greatest personality in the world. When they started 2-4, he was up, you know what, creek without a paddle.
It just didn't matter.
Guys, they didn't hate Deshaun for the same reason you hated Deshaun. They didn't dislike Deshaun. I don't want to use the word hate. They didn't dislike Deshaun or want Deshaun benched or felt like it was a drag to be around him because of any other reason than he played bad football. I'm not saying everybody doesn't care about the allegations. Most of them don't. There are guys who feel some way about it. 99% of football is that put aside your differences and go out there and win football games. And the same thing applies with good vibe guys. Like, there have been guys that have played with Jameis that are like, he's a great guy. He is beloved. I mean, in New Orleans, he was the starter for five games. He's still beloved there.
Yeah.
That's real. Enjoy that. But remember, it is different when that guy becomes your starting quarterback. It is easier to be beloved in a town when they're your backup quarterback. And once expectations become a thing, and in 10 games, we are going to have expectations on any given Sunday, right?
That's why they always say, like, the vice president's more popular than the president. The backup quarterback in a town is always more popular than the quarterback. Like, that's always been the case. There's no pressure attached to that.
But
that changes now.
Even if it's not this year, the Jameis vibes thing is something that's really interesting. And again, it's interesting from a standpoint of I love football, I love the Browns, and I like guys that make me smile, and Jameis does that.
Yeah.
But even if it doesn't rear its head this year, if Jameis is here and at some point expectations are there and they're not met, yeah, it's not going to be the greatest vibe of all time.
I wonder if the vibes give him any sort of leash attached to all this, though. Like, if you know that you can cultivate the vibes and you know that you're good to be around, I wonder if that gives him any sort of longer leash.
So I'm so glad you kind of pointed us in this direction, because I kind of wonder, because let's be honest with this, I wonder how far the you're not Deshaun vibes go. Because you can't convince me that that isn't some of the love of Jameis. Is Deshaun, nobody wanted to talk to him in the locker room, right? That was something that's been reported out there. He was isolated. He was by himself. He was kind of a black cloud. Not necessarily like the jovial guy he'd been in Houston. And Jameis is clearly the opposite of that. Like, oh, well.
It was opposite of that as a backup. I mean, yeah. He was going around high-fiving everybody before halftime, before they can go in the tunnel.
So I just, like, I don't know that, like, I don't know next year you come out of the gate and being like, well, he's not Deshaun, so I can't wait to go get it. And maybe that's an oversimplification. I just think it makes this whole situation, because I think the locker room is telling you, we love this guy. You ignored the locker room once. I don't know you get to ignore the locker room twice.
I do wonder, everyone's thinking long term with Jameis. I just wonder, even for the end of this season, I wonder if you stay with Jameis because it's good vibes and everything like that. Like, can you, there's no way they bring DTR in the mix at all now, right?
I mean, you can't say you're going to bring competition for Deshaun and it's the same quarterback room next year. No, but now it's a competition. You can't do, right?
You're hung up on that, and I understand why you are. I don't know if I agree with it necessarily. I'll be interested to see how they sell it.
Well, no, but I'm saying the same thing as you. You're saying, well, DTR can't be back here if he didn't get a chance this year and be part of the...
Oh, you mean all three of them back?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. Okay.
That would be a really weird flex of, but now we want them to compete.
That would be weird.
Just, like, granted, I do hate the idea of we got to bring in a quarterback to say we brought in a quarterback. Hate that as much as almost any axiom in the NFL. I just think it's really interesting. 216-474-0092. Can the Browns make up for the Joe Flacco mistake by doing right by Jameis and giving him a chance to be the starter beyond this year? Because the vibes are good. One final segment next on 92.3 The Fan.